We're moving on in the book of Matthew to chapter 2. And chapter 2 is a very famous chapter, often read at Christmas time. And we're familiar with the idea of the wise men who came from the east. Really interesting, it tells us very little about them. So we don't know exactly where in the east. Are these Chinese people that far east? Are they Mongolians? Are they people from maybe where the children of Israel in the Old Testament, we're told of how they're taken away to Babylon and captivity, that's sort of halfway east. Just who were they? And we don't know. The only thing we know about them is that they are what would we call back then, well, what we would call of them now, they were astrologers. Back in those days, the people studied the stars, believing that there was some connection between how they were configured, the planets and the stars, as to what happened on Earth. And it was like, to them, a knowledge. They didn't quite have the same understanding of sciences, but if those wise men were from China, there was an awful lot of learning that they did have about all sorts of things. And so they were considered and called wise men because they were people of much learning. And they must have been fairly financially set up for them to be able to afford such a long journey across just to track down and to give special gifts to the king, gold, frankincense and myrrh. If you got my during the week things that I write up, which includes the e-connected and the bulletin, some of what I say there is that there are some things people have misunderstood from the biblical account. One is that there were three wise men. Well, we don't know there were three. We only know they brought three gifts. If they carried one gift each under their arms as they sat on the camelback, then maybe there were three, but we don't know that for sure. We also are very much conditioned by Christmas cards. And you may be aware of the fact that you see in the Christmas card the manger scene and you see the wise men holding down their gifts. And they've put the wise men's arriving when Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus were right there at the very beginning. But in fact, if you read the text more carefully, they arrived 2 years later. And they didn't go to where the manger had been. They actually went down to the chief city of Jerusalem, which is Jerusalem, and inquired of the leaders there. Pretty sensible thing to do if you've heard that there's a new king being born or a baby boy who's going to become king. You go to the chief city and ask the people who are in charge, and they would show you how you could get to where the king, little baby boy, is to be seen. And so a lot of what we have about our Christmas event is setting up for there to be something for us to take special love of and connection to the whole Christmas culture. And much of it is what's been added after the fact. But here we have some men who are called wise men. And this morning I'm not going to get across too much to debunk all the various wrong ideas in Christmas. But I just want to bring our attention to the fact that people were called wise. I don't know whether you have a desire for God to teach you how to be a wise person or not, but this is about what makes a person wise. And is it the case that these were truly wise men? Well, they actually were in terms of human understandings. But whether that's the wisdom that the Bible would teach us is an altogether second question. And so I've got 3 points today about how to know to be wise. So if you listen for my 3 points, hopefully you'll be able to discover them. It might be helpful for Lachlan, who just sat in my seat, to look in my black bag and bring me a pair of glasses. That might make my comments more wise as I try and read my notes. Anyway, what exactly is wisdom is the issue that's being illustrated, thank you, by the wise men to have that name. They're the wise men. And we recognize that in their case, they're wise in terms of the culture from which they've come, and we know very little about what that culture exactly was. We only know that their evidence is that they saw the Messiah or the little baby king's star rising in the east. And they believed that they should follow where it was leading and track down and worship him. And what led them to such a wonderful thing to do, which I believe is what the angels of heaven would believe was appropriate for anybody who knew who this little baby was, would be to worship him. And so what we can learn from this as we go through my 3 points is about the wise men and what makes real wisdom. And so that's what we're on about here from Matthew and chapter 2. We'll put Matthew 2 and verses 1 following up on the screen. And we're going to be beginning to go through. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. And immediately we notice that the coming of the baby king is in the days where there is a reigning king according to the local happenings. He was not a Jew, he was a half-Jew, an Edomite, and he also was partially Jewish. He was an imposter, really, because he wasn't someone who cared much for the laws of the people of Israel. And he had installed himself as king, and he was very insecure, and he had a reputation of getting rid of anybody who might be a person who competed for his rulership. And they go, of course, from the east, and they come to Jerusalem. Just as I said, they didn't go to Bethlehem. They come to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, when it was rising in the east." It became a phenomenon in their sights. There's some new star. It rose in the sky. Now, whether that was one of our existing constellations or one of our existing stars or not, I've got no way to tell. I sincerely doubt that it existed before. I believe, probably, this is just my idea, I can't prove it, that God created a special star that would get seen over there in the east, wherever that is, and that they could follow camelback and eventually arrive in the land of Israel. I don't know how God could arrange it any other way, although you'll find there's a lot of speculations as to what particular star happening might have been seen by the wise men. So, but we just don't know. Anyway, they go to Jerusalem and they say, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews?" Now, can you imagine that that's a very smart thing to do when there's an existing man, Herod? I wonder whether they had absolutely no idea of Herod's character. He's the sort of person to put people to death quickly if they were challenging anything to do with him. What about John the Baptist? He lost his head by not realizing that. Well, I shouldn't conclude exactly why God let John the Baptist die, but Herod had his head. Well, he came and they said, "We've come to worship him." So whether or not the wise men are wise, I think they seem to know something that is absolutely biblically accurate. And that is that if you come to know who Jesus is, there is incumbent on that knowledge that you immediately should worship him. Who is he? That he deserves your worship. It couldn't have been a truer, more accurate thing for them to come ride that long distance to do. They probably were very rich to have the funds, you know, to be able to make that journey. And then the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense and myrrh, were extremely valuable gifts. They were not paupers. They were people revered in their home country and revered in the story of that we're reading here. They've come to worship him. And the first thing that I want to say, if you're a person that's looking for what it is to be wise, is to recognize that who Jesus is brings with it the corollary that you should worship him. You should bow down to him. You should recognize him. These ones come from a long way away. And they said, "We've come to worship him." Now, if there's a new king born anywhere else in the world, it doesn't mean the people of the east have to go and worship that new king. The new kings tended to turn up fairly quickly, especially as the old ones often got assassinated. But anyway, here are these people who arrive from the east, and they've got a wisdom to come all that distance and to bring such enormous, very appropriate gifts to the baby Jesus. And they're not put off by the fact that he's a baby in a manger when eventually, no, he was not in the manger, remember, when they see him. By the way, it says later down, when they find him in the house. So that's how I know that the scene that the Christmas cards have is inaccurate, because I had there the wise men and the shepherds and the cows and the donkeys all in the one spot. No, it says that they came and learned, and Herod learned from them how far back did the star appear, and he got the figure 2 years. So they've arrived 2 years after the baby's been born, and he's no longer in the manger, but he's in a house there in Bethlehem. And they go into the house and find him and they worship him. Now, I think at the same time that they're a little bit stupid. Meaning, did they not do any homework on what the status of things was, you know, how it was there in Israel, and Romans in charge, a puppet king that's there and very insecure, a man that's not actually a full Jew. But what reaction would you expect such a imposter king to give when the people come from the east and say, oh, you've got a new king born, oh, we'll come here and worship him? Well, what they might have expected is exactly what did happen, as Herod sought to kill all the babies 2 years old or under in the town of Bethlehem. When Herod the king, verse 3, heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Not that it troubled the Jerusalemites that a new king would be born, they'd be cheering under their breath. But they knew how Herod would react. They were troubled at what this arrival of the new king was going to do. Anyway, Herod the king, being troubled, he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people, the ones who had knowledge about the biblical things, and inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now you can see that Herod believes this one that's born might really be the real Christ. He was predicted in the Old Testament that one day the Messiah, that's just the Hebrew word for Christos, which is Greek, one day the Messiah or the Christ would come. And when these people come from the east and say, we've seen his star and we've followed it and we've arrived, should tell us where this new king is, Herod believed it. He didn't go killing off all the babies for nothing. But he puts on a big political stunt, and he inquired of them they inquired of Herod where the Christ was born, and he told them, and he gives a quote, or he gets his scribes to say, what's the best quote about when the Messiah where will be born? And so, going to the next slide, it says, and you, O Bethlehem, this is in what Matthew tells us is what the scribe said back. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. They were very little, it's a little town, and not to expect to necessarily have a very famous person coming out of it. But the thing says, Bethlehem, you're not the least amongst the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. Now, Herod is hearing from the scriptures. I want to have a little talk for a moment about the factors where we get our knowledge from, and how gifted were the Israelite people to have the Old Testament. How blessed and privileged were they to have a God who revealed to them eternal truths. Because the fact was that back in the ancient world, there was such a thing as knowledge that people would have that would be because they followed a certain religion. If they were Vikings, there would be a god called Thor, and he whispered things to them, and there were things that they did because Thor told them. There's a lot of superstition in the ancient world that came out of whatever the witch doctors or the prophets or whoever were the divine people, the people who knew about the divinations, would say and explain. And so knowledge of someone to be called a wise man was actually that they were folk who were in touch with how their people, whoever they be, were able to discern certain truths. And they were respected because of this. This is what the superstitious world that existed before the blessing of Christianity eventually came along. And so there were people who had expertise about studying the stars, but their expertise was to try and work out what effects these stars had on events on Earth. And that's exactly why when they saw a new star arrive, they think, oh, that means a new king has been born. Now, you call people who have that sort of attitude about the stars, that they, how you study them tells you about things on Earth, you call them not astronomers, which is a scientific term, but you call them astrologers. But there weren't two groups, some being astronomers who were studying the stars and studying things on Earth and being what we now in a scientific era might do. But there were astrologers who did a lot of astronomy as well as astrology. And the difference between those two things, listen to me, is that astrology believes in the connection between the pattern of the planets and the stars and events on Earth. So they studied the stars and the planets in order to then make predictions for events on Earth. That's astrology. It's a superstition. But as far as astronomers are concerned, which is really a description of what came about from the 17th century and on, astronomers make observations of the stars. And they get a knowledge by seeing what's happening up there, but they don't necessarily assume that it makes any difference down here on Earth. But back in those times, all the times from ancient times right up to the 17th century AD, astrology and astronomy were one and the same thing. And these wise men from the East actually were people who were superstitious or who believed in the connection between how the stars could be observed and events that happened on Earth, which is why they followed the star from the one that rose in the East. It really was an ignorance that the whole world had not to have the scientific mindset that came about in the result of Christianity having impact on Western ideas. By Western, I mean Europe and what Europe sponsored in terms of later places like America. And it was because of the influence of Christianity that gradually people began to discern the difference between astrology and astronomy and eventually rejected astrology as just superstition. There always have been people who like the idea of studying the stars, and there's people in our generation and in our country who might look up newspaper to see what their stars tell them is going to happen to them. But that is a superstition akin to the Vikings who had Thor telling them this and that and had a whole lot of sacrificial systems that they had to do because that's what Thor had whispered to someone who believed it. By the way, I do believe that some people heard what Thor whispered because it was demons. And you only have to go down to South America and see some of what the religious beliefs of the people did, sacrificing children and all sorts of ugly things that happened all around the world because people believed what this world of their world of religion or their world of listening to superstitions, how the stars were, all sorts of people got killed and sacrificed. Wars were started because of how people saw the stars. Even Constantine, who became a Christian, nonetheless saw something in the stars and it helped him believe the Christians were going to win, you know, because it was a very hard thing to shake. Wisdom back then was to be an expert like these wise men, but in actual fact, it's foolishness. If you haven't caught up with what Christianity did in blessing the world. And I think someone who's really wise is a person who doesn't listen to the things of his or her own generation, which really come from believing all of the things that are not true, who believe the essence of one's local religions. And so when you get people who say, I'm not religious, sometimes the reason why they are in that position is that they've only understood religion in terms of the Vikings and Thor or the people who have other beliefs. And all around the world, there are religions who have all sorts of things. And so there has arisen the idea that there's these people's wisdom and they're these people's wisdom. Along with wisdom, they would also, if you went and had a discussion in many countries of the world about what the truth is in Christ, they'd say, well, that's your truth, but we have our truth. And the reason why they say, no, I'm not going to do it by your truth because that's yours. We got ours and it's different. Don't be annoyed at them because they're doing so just like the wise men did. And what's interesting is that God saw fit to step into what probably were silly beliefs of the wise men to make there to be some sort of star that would lead them to come right across the continents almost, or however far they came from the East, and then turn up and eventually find the real Christ. God stepped into their wrong beliefs a little bit and led them across. I think that was God, all right. Maybe it is, of course, that they had some experience of the God of heaven. It's actually something that you realize from the Old Testament, that God's people, who were the Jews in the first instance, and now the New Testament is us as well, that God's people aren't the only one with whom God sometimes does things. There are people who some commentators of the scriptures would call the hidden ones, who belong to God though they haven't found him through Christianity or Judaism. How's that happen? Well, I only believe that because the Old Testament tells me so. One's name was Melchizedek, and he had a special ministry to Abraham and some of the people of the Old Testament times. You can't disagree with me because it's in the Bible, and I'm referring to a greater place to get your wisdom, which is the revelation of God. And right at the point I told you that there's going to be 3 points in my sermon. One is, it's a good thing to be wise, but where wisdom is found is not necessarily in the superstitions or the culture of your home country. And that applies to us as well. And there are things and patterns of living that those of us who have something to do with schools keep watching and seeing the culture changing for the worse, where we're losing some of the things that we had in our culture which were given to us from the scriptures. Once the laws of Australia were more closely tied to what the Bible reveals is the truth. And now it is that the people who get in places of authority seek to use that opportunity to negate the background we have, which is a Christian background, in our laws, in the recognition of the sacredness of marriage, in the matter of life and death, and whose role it is to bring death, it's God's. He doesn't want us to take life. That's what was going wrong in the days of Noah. Violence filled the world. There was one film that was trying to depict about how violence filled the time when Noah was here. The Bible, New Testament tells us this, that violence filled the world, and the film that was trying to depict it was a bit funny, actually. It wasn't funny, it was ridiculous. But it had a group of people standing there, and they were trying to show how they all got violent, and one man pulled out his sword and he put it in the stomach of the man next to him. It just made me laugh because I knew it wouldn't happen that way. But they were trying to show that there was no restriction on killing people. It was through the scriptures that God says that he's the one that owns life and we don't have the right to take it. But that has been forgotten in legal places in Australia. And there is an ignorance that's coming upon us as a nation. Are we getting more and more wise? Are our laws changing for the better? They're not. We're becoming fools because we've not learned the lesson. I want to say that the true wisdom, that is the only true wisdom, is the wisdom that comes from God. It's not a case of one people, they've got their wisdom, and you people, you've got a Christian background, you've got your wisdom. No, there's only one wise person, it's Jesus. He's actually the very source of truth. That's why he said, I am the truth. And when a person hears from Christ, when he hears from God and the revelation that comes, that's given us our scriptures, that is a truth that is far more true. I don't know whether my language is apt by saying it's far more true. It is actually only truth. Others might accidentally have some good ideas, and in all religions there's some aspects that they display that is a good thing, and there's sometimes a lot of love in other religions, and you don't want to say all religions are wrong and everything they assert. You're really cutting off our noses to despite our face, not to recognize that in the varied cultures there are a lot of very beautiful things. But I want to say that God can step into those other cultures and he finds people who will do his bidding. It's always been the case that there have been these hidden ones like Melchizedek, and there's others of the Old Testament you might discover who knew the true God, and the scriptures attest of them. There were prophets before the Israeli race came into existence and had their prophets. There were people who spoke from God. There were people like Enoch, whom God was so pleased with that he didn't let him die but just took him straight to heaven. He was translated, is how it's described. He didn't get to die. And so there, God can have his people anywhere, and so we must be a bit cautious of thinking that only we Christians have got all the good ideas. God has his hidden ones, and these three wise men were ones that had a truth, and God was the one who revealed it to him. And where I'm actually leading in all of this is that true wisdom comes from by way of revelation from God. And they got one specially for them that was one that God arranged to fit in with them being those astrologer, astronomer people. So they were wise, but not because of their culture, but by the grace of God to let them in on what was to become one of the greatest events on human earth, that the Christ would be born. Can you imagine the joy that they had? Being convinced that there was some king so important that they'd travel across from the east to the west to bring special gifts. And when they get there, where's he been born? They're so excited. We want to go and worship him. Well, what happens? Well, we're looking here. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly. He didn't really want too many witnesses, and he didn't want too many people who might know his character of being murderous to not warn the wise men too quickly. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. That's where he got that there were 2 years between the star appearing and that moment they'd arrived in Jerusalem. And anyway, what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go search diligently for the child, and when you've found him, bring me word that I too," this is Herod speaking, "I too might worship, come and worship him." And after listening to the king, that's King Herod, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they'd seen and had followed rose again before them and began to move, in other words, until it came to rest over the place where the child was, where he was. Well, I think we need the next slide. They rejoiced. Thank you. They rejoiced with great joy. And going into the house, that's how we know it's a house and not the manger. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and he worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now we'll move on from the fact of wisdom is to be dependent on what God tells you, not your culture necessarily. To my second point is that sometimes God speaks through things like stars, and he can step into another culture and get people to do what he wants. But he also can speak directly to people. And in this case, they have listened to the information of the scriptures. And so there is revelation from God which is superior to being an astrologer. And the Christian religion based on Old and New Testaments is one that believes there's a God who has revealed himself truly and trustworthily, if that's a good word. He's revealed himself through the Old and the New Testaments. And because the belief of the Herod and the Jewish people understands this, when they come asking where's the child to be born, they get the biggest experts about the scriptures. And they learn from them. Yes, it's go to Bethlehem or wherever they said. Bethlehem, yes. And so they've come to a way of being wise that is superior to what was their natural one, the astrology bit. And my second point is, there's a way to be wise that the scriptures will make you. And the Bible actually says that. It's got whole chapters in the book of Psalms and in the Proverbs about where wisdom is found. And by giving yourself to study the scriptures, by laying yourself open to believing what it says, you have become someone so much more wiser. The person who's the fool is the person who might have available the scriptures, but doesn't bother obeying them or the person who has available the scriptures but listens to some of our culture, which has taken on board that maybe the scriptures are mistaken, like I quoted last week, Normie Rose's little song, "It Ain't Necessarily So, the Things of the Bible Are Not So Reliable," it ain't necessarily so, and to doubt the scriptures and just see them as another human book. That was really the very heart of what it is to be what we call theologically liberal. It's not politically liberal, by the way, but theologically liberal is someone who gives some credit to the Bible, but not that it's accurate necessarily. And when they don't believe the scriptures, and they don't believe that you can trust the Bible, it is a worm that's getting into your person that's going to destroy your wisdom. You can meet people who are quite studied in the scriptures, but they end up with strange beliefs, or they end up even worse with behaviors that can justify things that the Bible clearly says is wrong. That's the trouble we have a lot with the people who feed our culture with the left-wing ideas that, you know, this is how families can be, and you don't have to have a marriage, and you don't have to use the words of marriage. You're just like a couple that's together. And they destroy the sanctity of what marriage is by not believing the scriptures. And to have the scriptures and not believe them, I reckon, is double ignorance. Well, these wise men listened to what the scriptures said, and they rejoice with great joy when they find the child and they give him the gifts. And then it says they departed to their own country by another way. And the reason why they so did, verse 12, look at it on the screen up there, that they were warned in a dream. So God not only, listen to me, God not only speaks through the scriptures, but he has spoken, and according to the book of Acts and according to the scriptures like Corinthians, he still speaks to people a way that is more direct. You can't make him speak. You can't demand, please give me a dream. But surely the sign of the New Testament age being the fact that the young men would see visions and old men would have dreams, there in the book of Acts in the first two chapters, is a sign that the new era has come, that we're in the era of the new covenant, is the fact that people have dreams and people have visions and there are gifts of the Spirit whereby knowledge sometimes comes. The book of Corinthians talking about there being a gift of tongues. I know by my so saying some people put me down as a charismatic because I believe the gift of tongues is in the Bible. But the reason why I believe it is just as I say, it's in the Bible. Who are you to say there's no tongues? Oh, I'll tell you who you are. Someone who has your own theory, you probably taught. Why, yes, it's in the Bible, but it doesn't happen today. Find that in the Bible. It's not there. And God spoke to, in this central event of Christianity, the wise men coming to bring the gifts, it says they were warned in a dream. God is in the business of revealing things when he needs to, when he wants to. You can't make him to, but he can use an experiential way, and it's in the Bible. I've met people who say, I only believe it's in the Bible. I don't believe those experiential things at all. But then I say, look here, it's in the Bible. Why don't you believe the Bible? Oh, no, that's relying on experiential revelation. Yeah, it is, because God does it. He doesn't have to. You've got to be wary of it because it might be your imagination. There's a testing, and the Bible has in the book of Corinthians ways that you test in a scene of a church. If someone has a vision or whatever, you can test it. Well, so going on about the wise men, my next point is that they have a contact with the God who sent them and they listen to his leadings. God is in the business of leading us, and it's a very tricky thing of finding out what God is saying, and many mistakes are made. I believe that God can lead you, but I've made many mistakes about what that leading was. And so I have a bit of a theory that if I feel that God is speaking, I'll track it down and certainly listen to it, but I don't necessarily act on it until I've let it prove itself a bit. And that's what we're meant to do as Christians. Of being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, They departed to their own country by another way, and you'll find that there's a couple more places if we go through the story where there is God working to protect baby Jesus. One of them is, or two of them is with Joseph. You just keep on reading. You can do it at home in this very chapter 2 and on in the narrative that follows of how Joseph, remember I said last week that Joseph was a fellow who is not reported saying anything. Of course, he could talk. But what's reported of him in the Christmas event is just what he does. And he gets dreams, he gets visions, he gets angels who tell him things, and he does it. He doesn't say anything, he just acts on it in obedience. And so in a dream, or is it an angel, I can't remember, but who come and warns Joseph that Herod is going to try and kill the baby. And so he picks up Mary and the baby, and he, and yes, last week I said maybe a couple of camels or horses and donkeys, they go down to Egypt. And by him so taking the baby Jesus down to Egypt saves him from being one of the little kiddies, 2 years old and younger, who Herod kills in Bethlehem. And then when he learns that Herod has died, he comes back up to Israel and he has another dream, and he's warned him about Herod's son is somewhere in power, and so he doesn't go quite back to the same spot, but Jesus ends up in Nazareth, which is why the prophecy that he would be a Nazarene came true. He got known as Jesus of Nazareth eventually because of that second time that Joseph, his legal dad, saved him by obeying what the revelation was. So if you want to know to be wise, I'm saying do what the scriptures tell us to keep in step with the Spirit. I think to be a person who knows all the facts of the scriptures has made a pretty good start. But God has given us the Holy Spirit in order that he, the Spirit of God, might teach us. And Jesus described him, and when you read John 14, John 15 and John 16, those three famous spots about the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about, he says, I'm about to go, but I'm going to give you another comforter. God will send you another comforter and he will testify of me. Surely you believe Jesus when he said that this other comforter, and the word for the other is a word that means another one, just the same as the one you got. The Holy Spirit will come and take over the role that Jesus had in leading his disciples. How pleased they were that they could learn from heaven, from the man who'd come from heaven. And now he's going away. They were really sad to be left somehow, that the one that was leading them was going to leave them. And he's telling them, you don't need to worry, because I will send you another comforter. It's just like the one you've got, and he will lead you into all truth. So there is an experiential leadership of the Holy Spirit to help you know what is the truth. And if you find as you investigate about what is a wise thing to do, that there's all these different opinions, then ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. Don't neglect him. Be like D.L. Moody, who got into his carriage after a meeting. He was having successful ministry, and some old man came up to him with a bent figure. I'm pretty good at doing the bent figure bit. And he says to him, he waved in his face, and he said, honour the Holy Spirit. And D.L. Moody didn't change any of his doctrines. He just took the word that was coming to him, that he had to consult the Holy Spirit and let him lead. And it was a real takeoff time for his ministry, because when you call in the operation of the Holy Spirit, there's all sorts of things that happen, and that's what it is to be wise. The person who's discovered what it is to have the Holy Spirit help you is a truly wise person. The one that has all the theology. Believe me, I know I've existed in theological colleges and had compatriots in all the different states who were part of Baptist framework because they were theologians. But you could be very, very dull and dry if all you've got is your studies and your famous thesis you did for your PhD or something or other. I want to tell you that the person who's wise is the person who knows, has acquaintance with, and is reliant upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is the only wise person at all. The rest of people who neglect the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said he's going to heaven and he's sending another comforter and he will lead you into all truth, then consult him, as did D.L. Moody and many others. So that's my point. That in the very text of Christmas, you've got wise men who are only wise because God stepped in His grace to make them specially know something. Maybe God made the star specially, or maybe God let them have the belief of spotting some existing star set up that made them follow it. But it led them to Jesus because God was in it. It was special. They were one of these hidden ones who knew God because He chose to reveal. Now, how can you generalize my points? One, the first point really is that the wise men were not naturally wise like we think. They were under the grace of God to bless them with knowledge that led them to Christ. That's wherein lay them to be able to be called wise, because they came to find Jesus and they knew when they saw Him that they were there to worship Him. That's wise. So yes, they deserve to be called wise men, but not because of their culture or their non-science. It was astrology and not astronomy, really. You know, since the 17th century, astrology has disappeared, really, and science has taken over much of the turning of the Western world into being Christian. And lots of other places as well happened in that period of history around the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries. Many places became Christian as the knowledge of the scriptures translated now, thank you, Martin Luther and others, the knowledge of the scriptures, that the way you're wise is that you listen to revelation. And that revelation, point number two, can be from the scriptures, as getting the scribes to tell you where the baby was born was available to the wise men. Or it can be because God steps in further with a dream. Warned in a dream not to go back and tell Herod. They disappeared. Gives Joseph time to get baby Jesus down to Egypt. And the third point is that the Holy Spirit is able to us who are Christians have a source of being led to the truth. And so it isn't just a matter of knowing the truth because you go to the best institution to be trained. I'm not speaking against getting theologically trained. I'm not speaking against the universities who have a lot of mixed up ideas. All universities do. They're in the business, but they at least have not got the idea of the superstitious, but you test things with knowledge and observation, which is good. And you can find your way to be like a scientist, but if you move away to just your scientific knowledge and do not allow from the revelation from God, you haven't yet really arrived at what it is to be wise. So, and that wisdom is listening to the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. One man who, as a theologian, was very much more anchored to speaking out and writing his books about how to know the truth is the objective facts stated in the Bible, but he had to moderate his stance. He went and ministered up in Canada in a college which was a bit more open to the things of the Spirit, and he wrote that book, Keep in Step with the Spirit. I'm talking about J.I. Packer, who used to be against any Christianity that was too subjective. But he wrote a book in the end, and I used to bump into him or see him at the Billy Graham conferences in Amsterdam. But the book was more or less his recognition that you need the Holy Spirit to lead you to how to understand the scriptures. And keeping in step with the Spirit, as taught by the book of Galatians, is what it is to be wise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story of the wise men. I hope I haven't tarnished their reputation. They certainly were proving their wisdom to follow the lead, travel across the continents, however far from the east that was for them. And they came and they found out where the baby had been born and how long. They went to find him and they found him and they fell down and worshipped him. Oh, Father, how is it that those silly priests and scribes in Jerusalem, they didn't take a quick journey off there to Bethlehem. They could have gone up and had a quick look. They didn't bother. They're just resting in that they knew a few facts. They believed them. Lord, it sometimes seems to me the people who live nearest the church are the slowest to take advantage of coming and worshipping. Lord, it's possible for us to be big experts, like some of them were, about the scriptures and end up with hardly any wisdom, just knowledge. Knowledge that sometimes might be wrong. Oh Lord, help us to be people who see that the wisdom of God, the book of Psalms talks about, Lord, that is in our knowledge of Christ and our worshipping of him and our devotional lives. Lord, please revive us as individuals and revive us as a church, that we might be a people, Father, here, of whom it is said they know the Lord. Lord, I remember hearing one reputation when our family first came here that someone said, oh, they just have theology. And I took note that that would be a terrible reputation to really be true. If we only had theology. Lord, wisdom is when you know the Lord and you listen to him and you seek his face and you test the things that he leads you in to see if they be so, and you use the word of God to do that testing like the Bereans. Lord, would you make us a wise church who have the scriptures so central that we learn the truth of Jesus. And secondly, would you help us to be Christians who've opened our hearts to let the Holy Spirit lead us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.